Welcome to Fire Talk Radio, teaching the unfiltered Word of God with the anointing of His Spirit, with subjects on eternity and the choices we make that determine our eternal destiny.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? I'm glad you joined me tonight, whatever part of the world you're listening to me from, whatever time zone. I'm just really glad you're here. And if you start to hear some funny, like, squeaking noises or, like, high-pitched sounds, it's really where I'm recording from. There's this bird. I don't know what kind of bird it is, but it's making quite a ruckus. So hopefully you won't be able to hear it, But it is a fussy one. Now tonight, well, I should say this morning, I have scheduled it for an hour, but it may go over, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm able to extend it if needed, so... But I'm going to schedule it for an hour right now for this lesson. I'm continuing my teaching on Jesus the Ultimate Healer, Part 11. Almost concluding with this series. And tonight I'm going to be continuing why healing is for all and why it is for now. So, but before I do, I am going to play a song for you. praise God. That's where I want Christ to be, all around me, His presence all around me. There is nothing like His presence. You know, I discovered that an acquaintance of mine had passed away. He was very high strung and worried about everything that there was to worry about, and then some. He's very negative, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but that's just the way that he was. He was very high strung. He's very negative about things, and if he thought that possibly something bad could happen regarding his work or his family, then he would meditate on that, and then it would have a snowball effect because the enemy would keep putting lies in him. And, I believe that worry killed him, because I found out he died and he had high blood pressure because, worry and anxiety, it causes all kinds of health problems and can unfortunately cause premature death, because if a person just changes their mindset on things, they change their mindset and they just take those thoughts captive. It may take some practice, but if they take those thoughts captive, then to the obedience of God and obedience of Christ, and they meditate on the Word of God, which is positive and it's truth and it's promises, then they can change their way of thinking. Caroline Leaf has a book out called Who Switched Off My Brain, and I believe that it talks about these things on how to think in a different way. Reprogram yourself, so to speak. He was a very nice man. Like I say, he was an acquaintance. He had a family. He had a wife. But it's very sad because the Bible says, for all of your worrying, can add one day to your life or one inch to your stature. All of your worrying cannot add one second to your life, but all of your worrying can minus a lot of years from your life. So the Bible says to cast our cares on the Lord because He cares for us. The Bible talks about how just not be worried about anything at all. And understandably, our head is gonna mess with us and have a can of worms, so to speak. But we have to have peace in our heart about things. And, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because he trusts in me. And we just need to trust and cast our cares on him because he really, 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 really does care for you and for me. It's sad. I mean, maybe it was his time to go, but a person can live, it's so much possibly have a better quality of life, not always, worrying about things. So, and not only that, suppose he did go early. I mean, the chances are with negative thinking and things, like I said, you can go, you can leave early, you can leave this world early because they can die prematurely. So, and, you know, it says in, it says in Luke 12:25, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? It's in Luke, it's in Matthew as well. Matthew 6:25-34. I was looking it up here as I was, as I was talking to you. So, but, I do, you know, his life could have a better quality, he could have been, just had better quality life. He wouldn't be stressing all the time, and you know, so it's kind of sad. Just, I mean, like I say, we were acquaintances, so I'm not, you know, I'm okay. I mean, I just feel bad for him. Feel bad for his wife, and apparently he's been gone for quite a while now. I hadn't heard of him or seen him, and he's been gone for about 3 years now, I think. So, and you know, it's talking in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25, as I said to you a moment ago. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, with this acquaintance, this person, that just, you know, it didn't matter what it was. I mean, yes, it was food, it was clothing, and he heard there were some layoffs coming to where he worked, and he's thinking it would be him. It didn't matter what it was, he would worry. And so I just wanted to just kind of, I don't know, that was kind of on my heart to share with you. And let me get with the lesson here. In part 11 today, I'm continuing sharing about why healing is for all. And it is for now. I left off with you in part 10 with number 21, which says signs and wonders. That was the 21st reason. The 22nd reason that healing is for all and healing is for now is because Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. In John 15, verses 1 through 8, it reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean, because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and it is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. The branches have no life at all away from the vine. At all. And if the vine is healthy and strong, so should the branches. The devil will try to block the flow to the branches because he doesn't want life flowing. Try to do anything he possibly can to distract or get a person into sin or just offended, whatever the case may be. Just to keep them away, to block the flow. So we have to keep that channel clear so that there's a clear way for the life of God to flow. We need to love God, love people, and obey God. You know, I've often heard it say that you know, somebody says, "Well, and God said this to me. I wish I would have listened to him. Well, the case is they did listen, but they didn't obey. They didn't act on what he said to do. So there's a difference between listening and doing what he says. That would be the obedience part. Because I can listen to what you said, your instructions, but if I don't do them, I listened, but I didn't obey. I didn't follow through with your instruction. So when I listen, I want to listen and obey. And there's nothing that will stop the flow like disobedience and not walking in love. Nothing like that. And I was thinking about, now that's the end of the study, at least for the time being. It's the end of the why healing is for now and is for all, because I have a couple of other thoughts that I wanted to share with you, and then the next class that I do will be starting at actually the last reason why healing is for all. I'm sorry, why healing is for now and healing is for all. So, but I want to, like I said, end here because I have some thoughts that I want to share with you. Just making a note here. Okay, let's see. If you're not familiar in the book of Exodus, maybe, you know, I don't want to just do this show like, I don't want to do this show assuming that you know the Bible inside and out. And like, you know, every single story and everything that's in there. This is a Bible, word-based teaching, quote, show, radio show. So I don't want to just assume that you know all of it. So I wanted to tell you that in the book of Exodus, this was after Moses had, it's a whole teaching in and of itself, but you can go check it out in Exodus and in Genesis and, actually Exodus, but Moses has, he has a burning bush experience. He sees a bush on fire, and but it's not consumed. And anyway, in a condensed version, because like I said, there's a teaching in and of itself in a series, possibly, but with him, he was raised up to be the deliverer for the Israelites, for his chosen for the people. And so he went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," because they were oppressed. They were slaves. And finally, after much, much struggle with Pharaoh and a lot of different plagues on Egypt, but no Israelite was touched with the plagues. They weren't bothered at all. I shouldn't say some, but none of the plagues came on them, only the Egyptians. Well, on the day of Passover, on the Passover day, Okay, what happened was the very last plague, they were going to kill the firstborn of every, the firstborn male of every single person of the Egyptians. But God told Moses to tell the Israelites to have bread, a certain way of preparing the lamb, and to get the blood from the lamb and put it over the lintels of the door, which means pretty much like the outside frame of your door you could think of nowadays. And then the angel of death would fly over or pass by, however you want to say it, would not kill the firstborn of that household. And so when the Israelites ate the bread and they ate the lamb and they had their Passover meal, they were quickened, their bodies were quickened, the sick were healed of every single plague, and there was not one sick or feeble one among them at all. Not one. And their clothes even grew on them, their shoes grew on them, their clothes didn't even wear out. And today, I mean, that was a type and shadow of the communion that we take today. But it symbolizes different. Back then, it was to get quicken them, and it healed them completely. And now today, the bread symbolizes the body of Jesus, which was bruised and broken and battered and tortured for us, for you and for me, that Jesus took our sins, our sicknesses, and all of our diseases, our shame, all of that upon himself, so that we could be healed and made whole. Diseases, I've often heard it said like diseases spelled D-I-S-E-A-S-E-S, or disease without plural singular, depending on how you have it. You could put D-I-S space and then E-A-S-E, dis-ease, if you wanted to put it that way. Because disease, sickness, pain, brings dis-ease. The juice symbolizes the blood that Jesus shed for you and for me. In the Old Testament, the blood covered our sins. But in the New Testament, the blood washes away the sins, and they are never to be remembered anymore. Excuse me, on the bottom are forgetfulness. See, at the bottom is forgetfulness, and as far as the east is from the west. And the blood of Jesus keeps us pure. The blood of Jesus keeps us holy. The blood of Jesus protects us. When you and I partake in the communion, holy communion, our bodies will be quickened and divine healing will take place and we will be strengthened. Very important that when we take communion, we examine ourselves, that we taken an inventory of our heart, examine our hearts to make sure there's no sin or unresolved sin or somebody's offended with us or we're offended with somebody or just whatever it is, we have to make sure that our heart is right before we take communion. Because it says in the book of Corinthians that if we partake in communion in an unworthy manner, then we bring damnation upon ourselves. And I'm going to look it up actually so I don't misquote it. Bear with me here. But we just have to examine our hearts in order to take communion in the right way. So I'm going to actually go, so that you're not sitting here waiting for me to look up scripture, I'm going to play a 1-minute clip about the upcoming winter camp meeting. I am so looking forward to that. Winter camp meeting. It starts this coming Sunday, the 25th of January. And it goes from Sunday to Sunday. And I am really, really excited. It's going to be awesome. 8 days, 2 meetings a day. Starts at 10 a.m. in the morning. And at 7 a.m. at night. It's well worth it. Trust me, your life will never be the same. I'm going to play that while I look up that scripture.
Hey, Rodney Outbound here, inviting you to come and be a part with us. Winter Signs and Wonders Camp Meeting right here in Tampa, Florida, the 25th of January through the 1st of February. 2 meetings a day. Sunday to Sunday is going to be epic. Get on a plane, get in a train, get in a bus, a bicycle, the back of a camel, whatever you need to do, in a canoe. Get you to Tampa. It's going to be a time of great praise and worship and the ministry of the word and the move of the Holy Spirit. And the theme of this week is called Possessing the Land. And I believe 2015 is going to be the year of possessing the land. And we're going to see a mass mobilization of God's people for what God's purpose and plan is for their life for 2015. So what better way to dedicate right in the opening month of 2015? Come and be a part in the Winter Signs and Wonders Camp Meeting. I'm looking to see you. Come on.
And I found the scripture I was looking for. 1 Corinthians 11:29. But a man, it begins at 28 actually. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Basically, that sleeping means death. Many of you sleep. In other words, many of you die. And also it says this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number die. I'm going to look that up in just the whole verse and find all of it that I want. I'm going to actually start at, let's see here. Yes, let's see, I start off at verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supping, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And then it goes on a bit more there. So a lot of those is do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did for you. You know, Jesus he suffered all of that, and it's do this in remembrance of me. So just remembering him and remembering also that he's going to come again in all of his glory and splendor. He's going to come again for you and for me. And as I said, when we partake of the communion, then we're quickened, our bodies are quickened, and we get divine healing, and we're strengthened. And after examining ourselves and making sure that we're right with God, remembering him, thanking him for that, looking forward to his coming again, and discerning the body, then we can partake in the communion. Since communion also, as I said, brings divine healing, then it's good and highly recommended that you take communion daily, on a daily basis. Because if you take communion on a daily basis, you're going to remain in really good health. And Psalm 91, I was quickened to, no plague shall come near my dwelling. I know there's an elderly man who was maybe in his 70s, 80s. He was a man of God, and his wife was gone, and just about all of his friends were gone. He didn't really have a lot of people that were of his close-knit family. And he just wanted to die and just go home to be with Jesus. And he was ready to go home. And he kept getting frustrated. He would tell people he was so frustrated that he wasn't dying, that he wasn't going, why was he living? Why was he, actually, I think he was older than 70s, 80s. I think he's like, well, he's mid-80s, close to 90 or something. And I could have parts of the story, you know, like ages and things like that, maybe a bit out of, about not all right, but I know I have the gist of it right. Like, for example, like he wanted to die, but then, and he was getting frustrated because he wasn't dying. But then somebody reminded him that he had taken communion every single day since he was a youth. And he was a living testimony of how God's staying power. That's powerful right there. Absolutely powerful. So we just had this amazes me, just wonderful. Now, I just wanted to say that I've got about 15 minutes left. And that was the end of that lesson. I want to let you know that God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he has a great plan for your life. If nobody has ever told you that God loves you and has a great plan for your life, I just did. If you were to die this very second, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven? If you're not sure, you know, the Holy Bible reads, we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you want to make sure you're going to go to heaven, just mean it with your heart and repeat after me. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me, set me free. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead and are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am born again. I am forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. Praise God. I tell you right now, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that all of your sins are forgiven you. Always remember to run to God and not from God, because he loves you so much. He has a great plan for your life. Excuse me. I was going to take a swig off of this water here. I'd rather do that than cough in your ear. I'd rather take a drink of water. You also repeat this prayer after me. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I forgive anyone who ever hurt, neglected, or abused me. It was not my fault. I forgive myself for anyone I ever hurt, neglected, or abused, including myself. Jesus, I ask that you fill me with your peace, your joy, and your love. And I release those people and myself from all wrong. Amen. Now, if you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, then repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire, and I'm asking you right now to fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Fire. Fire, God, right now. Filled. Filled in the name of Jesus. Shokalababa, selababa, kurandadadede. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep on speaking. There you go. There's the syllables. Just open your mouth. Don't speak any language that you know. No language, no English, no Spanish, no whatever the language is. Just open your mouth and let God fill it. And get out of your head. Don't think with your head. Just let it flow like a river, like we were talking about earlier. There you go. Louder, louder. There you got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that they got their prayer language. Thank you, Father. Now look, if you didn't get it, your prayer language, right now, this very second, stand on his word, stand in faith and his promise, and know that it will come. There's been testimonies of people who have been doing their dishes, and all of a sudden they get their prayer language. And that's probably because they're not in their head and their head is focused on something else. Maybe just a thought. I want to tell you about some awesome schools. The River Bible Institute, the River School of Government, and the River School of Worship. And they are absolutely wonderful, wonderful schools, full of the Word of God, and they're anointed with the fire of God. And these schools, the next intake is in August. I'm not sure the exact date yet, but it's in August, and also you can go to riverbibleinstitute.com, River School of Government.com, River School of Worship.com, and check out the schools. And it'll give you a lot of information. Now, if the money has been an obstacle for you, and it has been why you've not come to Bible college, or you've not gone to Bible college or pursued it, then I have exciting news. I've been authorized by the administration of the school to give you a free scholarship. And that is exciting. You don't have to pay it back or anything like that. You just apply online and await to hear the results for August. And if you know anybody that has a call of God on their life, but they feel like money is standing in their way, then you can give them a scholarship. Now, I can only give you a scholarship to River Bible Institute and the River School of Worship. At this time, they're not taking scholarships for the River School of Government. So you have a scholarship to, I can give you a scholarship to River School of Government and River School of Worship. River Bible Institute and River School of Worship. So congratulations on your scholarship. And you just can fill out if it has a place for notes online when you fill it out, or you can tell them when you call, or you can find someplace and just tell them that Deborah Lacewell from Fire Talk Radio gave you a scholarship. And there you have it. So I look forward to seeing you. You can also email me at firetalkradio2@yahoo.com. And if you have prayer requests, you can call 24/7. You can call 866-857-4837. That's 866-857-4837. You can also go to revival.com. That's revival.com. And check out all the archives and see what is all past church episodes or episodes. Just you can also check out the Facebook and the Twitter and also YouTube. They have a YouTube channel. So you can check those things out, and it will be there now. If you want to follow me, I'd love to have you follow me on Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking to get more followers, and you'll be in the know when something new is happening. There's some news, some things going on. Then you will know. So you follow me by going to blogtalkradio.com/firetalkradio2. That's with the number 2. That is blogtalkradio.com. Let me say it slower. blogtalkradio.com/firetalkradio2. That's the number 2. And you can go to my Facebook, facebook.com/firetalkradio2, the number 2. And then we can like the page and find out what's happening there. And I just want to tell you that I like to end the show with a song and all of that, but to let you know that I've got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in this show. And when I'm done with that, it starts to record. So I want to let the live listeners know that in 2 minutes and 15 seconds, I'm going to go off live, being live on the air, but only because the song will be playing, and you're not going to hear the full song live, but you'll hear it in the archive because it records that. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. so you don't have any surprises. I hate it when things cut up on me and I don't get any warning. Coming up on 90 seconds. So I have on Monday, Friday, and Saturday live shows at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless there is a special programming or things of that nature. So I'd love to have you join me, and I'd love to hear from you, comments or questions. And you are loved. You are valuable. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are precious and you are priceless to Him. You mean more to Him than anything. You're the apple of His eye. You are just so precious to Him and loved. And I love you. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand and envelop you in His love.
Soul is ram again.